Well, we're going to pick up and continue on this theme that the Holy Ghost, because I really had no thoughts about this, and it was a couple of weeks ago, as I shared, that the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and he said, I want you to start teaching on the motto of this church. And he spoke to Pastor Enrique the same thing, and he spoke the same thing to Pastor Greg. So he spoke, and we didn't discuss it. And he spoke it to us almost the same time in the evening. We were all home minding our own business at Saturday, a few Saturdays ago in the evening, and we all got the same thing. And so God has a reason, he has a purpose. He didn't just give that motto to Pastor Sarah just to have a nice motto for the church. And although that was true and good, and we profess that, God wants us to make it personal. He wants us to decree that I am a place where the love of God is evident. I am a place where the word of God is taught and resides and dwells in richly. And I am a person and place where the Holy Ghost is directing. And me, I'm a place where the power of God is resident and flowing through. That's what he wants you to say. So although it's a great motto to have, and we thank God for it, and we expressed it, you could say it and walk out here and have no intentions of doing it. And so what God is saying, time is short, he's about ready to return, and the harvest is white, the laborers are few. And just like my dear sister, the Holy Ghost said, just say this. That's what we're talking about. Going fishing for people. And God is desiring it. He loves people. You may not love them. You may not even like them. Doesn't matter what you think and what you like, because it's no longer you that live, but he that lives in you. And we need to yield to him and obey him. You know, I was here, I heard something, kind of brings to mind something that Pastor Hagen shared one time. He said, you know, I don't pick music. He said, when we select music for services, I don't select music just because I like it. He said, I pick music that registers with the people. Because if it were up to me, he said, I'd listen to, you know, some of his old-time music. He said, you'd be like, you turn your nose up at it. So it's the same thing. God wants it. We're going to try to reach people that maybe we don't like. He likes them. He loves them. And he wants to use his body to reach people. And we need to know, you know, I shared last week, you know, as a young boy, you know, I did fishing, you know, I don't do as much now as I used to because I don't have the time. But sometimes, you know, I've let my licenses lapse and all that other kind of stuff that you have to have. But sometimes, you know, like on a Monday, if you're off, I just like to go because it's quiet. I go somewhere, you know, we've got wonderful right near us. We have Harriman Park. It's got like 17, 18, 19 lakes. You can go up there and get lost in the lakes. And it's 15 minutes from me. You just drive up there and you can go hiking. You can go fishing. It's wonderful. And this horrible cell service. And I go, great. Nobody can reach me. You look at your phone, you go, no cell service. Wonderful. So you can go up there for a couple of hours and go fishing, go up there and just walk, do just enjoy the outside. But in doing that, you know, I fished up there as a young person years ago. And it's a wonderful place just to enjoy. But I mentioned, with fishing, like anything else, there's different kinds of fish. You've got to know what fish hits on what kind of bait. And you got to know what bait they're hitting certain times of the year. Well, you know what? People are the same way. And you better know what bait you need to reach people. Because some bait will turn off the fish. They ain't hitting it. No matter, you can be, I've done this. I've gone out in the middle of winter and done ice fishing. I've been in streams. I've backpacked into areas I told you. I've been in every kind of condition, every kind of different location, just to get certain kind of fish. And boy, I've learned the hard way. You're out there casting and you ain't getting nothing. You got the wrong bait. And you're not using the right bait, because that's not what's in the stream. You need to know what's in the stream, in their environment, that will cause them to bite. So it's the same thing. You need to know. That's why a relationship with God is key. Intimacy with Him. That's why Jesus could go where He went and do what He did, because He was intimate with His Father. And He said, I don't do anything unless I see or hear my Father say it or do it. So for us, having that intimate relationship, He'll tell you, go over here and just say this. You don't have to figure out. He'll show you what kind of bait to use, what to say, and how to present it. It's not hard. But we're trying to, you know, we kind of blazing in with our Bibles, and we're going to, you know, do and say what we're going to do. Did you check out with God what He wants you to say? And I'm not saying you shouldn't read the Word and study it, but people are unchurched, and they're just hurting. And people just need to hear a simple thing like, I love you. God loves you. Wow. That's simple, isn't it? So the whole thing with going fishing here and the motto, God is wanting us to present or live this motto. He wants us to live it. And we were sharing on Friday night, you know, doing a Bible study, and we're really having a good time on Friday nights. It's simple, and this book that we're using, Getting a Grip on the Basics, you know, some may think it's too simple or too basic because we already know it, but the key is keep feeding, and there's a scripture over here that the Word continues to reveal God's righteousness. As we study Him more, we begin to have a deeper understanding of just what we have. And the more we feed upon the basics, we start understanding, wow, this righteousness that I have. Then what does the scripture say? When you dig down deep and build your foundation on a rock, that when the winds of life come, you're not moved around. And that's what we're talking about. The more you keep feeding on even what we call the basics, it's building a foundation where I'm not moved based on what people think, society thinks. I'm rock solid. So God is looking as this, and on Friday nights, we were just talking about our nature, and we're a new person in Christ, and I have a new nature. Well, this new nature that we have is now I have a new nature, I have a new mind, a new heart, my spirit is changed, and I have a new purpose, I have a new covenant. And so our purpose now is God's purpose, and that purpose is reaching people. It's reaching people. And I like this. I like this, what we were sharing before, the New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. I've got a new life, a new purpose. And it goes on, and all this is a gift from God who brought us back to Himself through Christ And God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. That's our purpose. Reaching people and getting people reconciled to Him. Everywhere we go, you know, I was sharing last week how, you know, whatever it is, whatever you like, I at that point in my life, I like fishing. Well, everywhere I go, I look at lakes and streams and you'd go, wonder what's in there. Let's go fishing. Or I shared, you know, if you like golf, you're looking like, where's the nearest driving range? Well, maybe you like baking and cooking. Maybe you like, you know, let me throw this out here. This will get you. How many like shopping? Ah, there's some in here that like shopping. Man, you pass the store and you go, oh boy, let me go shopping. Whatever it is, right? Whenever you see something, you look for opportunities to do that because that's what you like. So I said last week, when you see people, do you look at that as an opportunity to reach them? Because if we have a heart for people, then we look for opportunities to do what? Reach them. Reach them with the gospel. And so we look for opportunities. So that's our new mission, our new purpose. And the way we think in Romans 12:2, this is the Passion Translation. It says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. This is a Passion Translation. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. See, this is what we're talking about. Our thinking has to be changed and reformed. Don't take on the ideals and customs of this culture. This will empower you to do what? Discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. But what I was focused on is when we are transformed by the Holy Spirit, it will allow us, it will empower us to do what? To know, to discern what His will is. So just like when you heard our dear sister say, well, I was a little hesitant, but the Lord told me to say something to this person. Now that's a seed planted in that person's life. And so this is what we're talking about. The more we have, more we're changed. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That word will transform us, and we'll take opportunities to reach people, to speak to them, to engage with them. Amen. This is a mind change, right? This is a heart change. And although we know God, He's wanting to use His body. And Matthew 4:18 in the New Living Translation, 18, 19, and 20, it said, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. This always just gets me. They were fishing for a living, and Jesus called them out, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. That's such a powerful thing. He said, come, follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once and followed Him. That always gets me. There was no, I mean, they had families, they had whatever, all the stuff going on in their life. They fished for a living. They left their livelihood. What did Jesus say? What the power of what He released? Come, follow me. Whew. Just like Peter said, Lord, if that be you, bid me come. and he got out of a boat in the middle of a storm and walked on the water. So when he said, come, follow me, whew, they did it. So when Jesus speaks to us and he said, do this, do we go, was that you, Lord? Yeah. So he's wanting us to grow in this area and be sensitive and responsive to him. And of course, you're going to fight. The flesh and the mind are going to be just like, eh. But you're a new creature. You have a new nature. You have a new purpose. And your nature is, you don't have to think about it. You know, that's what we were saying Friday night. If you have to think about something, then you start to say, a dog doesn't think whether it's a dog. It acts like a dog. And the difference for me was I saw something that God said in his word, he made us in his image and likeness. He never said he made animals in his image and likeness. So that means they're not godlike. They don't have the facility to make a choice. They just act like whatever they're made to do. But we can make choices. So that means you've got an intellect, a soul, and you can make a choice. So that means we have to make choices, and that's why when it says here, let us be transformed with the word of God so that we can discern what his will is, then that means, and it says, he will empower us to know. So for us, he's wanting to show us how to fish for people. And the more we do that, that's why when we look at certain scriptures in James 1:22 in the New Living, it says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror and you see yourself and walk away and forget what you look like. And every one of us know this. How many in here have had an aha moment? How many in here have said, oh, wow, I'm seeing something in the Word I never saw before. I see it. I see it clearly. And you don't write it down. You don't document it. You don't write it down. You don't put it on a piece of paper, get your iPad. I've got my phone or iPad. Whenever I've gotten to this habit over the last 10 years, if I hear it, I'm writing it down. I'm jotting it down. Because how many have not, and an hour later you're going, what did he say? What was that? Lord, bring it back to me. Yeah, that's exactly James 1:22. You look at yourself in the mirror, you see who you are, and then you walk away and forget who you really are. So as we act, that's why when it says that we're to do what? It says, don't just listen to God's word, but do what? Do what it says. And then it says, for if you listen to the word, that's what he's using an example. If you listen to it and don't obey it, it's like looking in the mirror. You see it, you're clear, you don't obey it, and then you forget. You forget the revelation. So when he begins to show us to do something, we're to do what? Act on it. Just act on it. Yeah. So reaching people, we're talking, last week we were talking about going fishing with the love of God. Today, I'm just going to look at, we're looking at the motto of the church, where the love of God is evident. We looked at that last week. This week, we're going to look at where the word of God is taught. So that here, we're going fishing with what? The word of God. And looking at that and just looking at what does Matthew 28, the Great Commission, Matthew 28 and Mark 16, these are all the instructions, the Great Commission. And the New Living Translation, Matthew 28, 18, he said, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, do what? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am always with you, even to the end of the age. So he's given us some direction here. We're to do what? Go into all the world, reach people with what? The word of God. And the same thing, this is the Mark 16, starting in verse 14. It says, still later he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had what? He had appeared to them. Isn't it interesting? He rebuked them and then he turned right around and said, go. Isn't that pretty good? Yeah. So you can see the love of God. You know, sometimes we think the love of God is something else. But he, let me get back down here again. That he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating. Together he rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead. And then he told them, go into all the world, preach the good news to what? To everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. You know, you could look at this and start looking at the motto of this church that the Holy Ghost gave. These signs will follow those who do what? Believe. Believe what? Believe that I'm a place where the love of God is evident. I believe that. Why? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. So it's already there. You just have to obey it. Does it mean we don't miss it? No, it didn't mean that. But as you obey, you are perfected in your love walk. So he goes on and he says, go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. And this is where we picked up here again. It says, verse 17, these what? These miraculous signs will follow, accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. Verse 18, they will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. So you have been given a command, as we all have, as new creatures in Christ, and you're full of power, full of love, full of the word, and you are to do what? Go into all the world and to reach people. You know, I was reading something. We were in prayer a couple of weeks ago, and we had such an unction to pray on that Wednesday, and I was just sharing something about our authority, and something Brother Hagin wrote, he said, you don't feel authority. You just have it. You have authority. You don't feel authority. So you have been given authority to go into all the world. You've been what? Authorized to do that. That's not something you feel, you just do. And you have to have your mind embracing that I'm an authority. That's why when Jesus spoke in Matthew 18:18, he said, what things soever you forbid on earth is forbidden in heaven, or what has already been forbidden in heaven. And what things you what permit? What things you permit are things that are already permitted in heaven. And I was sharing, let me get back to what I was sharing, that when we were in prayer, one of the ladies came up, Bobby came up, and we just said, you know, do you have a word? Does anybody have something the Lord has showed them? And we just, you know, embraced that. And she said, we were at the border. We were at the border praying. We were praying at the border. And I said, yeah. And as she said that, I heard right down in here, you're letting things in your own borders. You have borders in your life. And you're just letting things come marching right in, and you're permitting it. And you're not standing up and using the authority that God has given you and doing what? Forbidding it. What am I talking about? Worry, fear. You're just letting it come in. That doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, but you got to say, oh no, you're not allowed here. And you close the door, you shut the border, you close it down. And there's things in people's lives, and that's why we have to bring the good news. We have to come as ambassadors for Christ to do what? Preach the gospel, share the good news of the gospel, but also do what? Lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, lift up burdens off of people. Because maybe they don't know and they're not in the position, maybe they don't have faith for that in that area. But we do, and God is trying to raise up our spiritual sights. I'm telling you, if you think things have digressed or have gotten as bad, just wait a little bit. Because you think about this. Think 4 years back. Just think 4 years back. And now look at today. And you go, we got people. We have people. You just walk into the stores and people are going, they don't even know God. They're going, what is going on? Isn't that true? People are asking questions. They're going, what the heck is going on? If you look just in your own mind and you look back 4 years, has it gotten worse? Yes. Has sin gotten worse? Has iniquity gotten worse? Yes. And it's being allowed and promoted. Where's the church? I'm not talking about protesting and going out on the street and marching. I'm saying, where's the church to stand up and not permit it and say, Satan, no, we bind you in the name of Jesus. We forbid you to continue. This is what I'm talking about. If you don't like what you see in your home, do something about it. If you don't like something you see in your neighborhood, do something about it. You know, kind of brings it to mind. This was a number of years ago. I was renting an apartment close to here. And man, I was just, was I hot. I was upset because it was like this. The apartment next to me, slamming doors, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, loud music, just, I'm talking about loud. You couldn't sleep. Kids in and out all night long, slamming the door, just partying, young kids. And I'm like, and my flesh was getting boiling. And so I just said, wait a minute. Why am I getting upset? I said, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. I forbid you to continue. I break your power in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, I got hot in the spirit. And let me tell you what happened. Less than a week, I heard this banging on the door. It's the police. They dragged them out. They broke it. Oh, yeah. He had violated parole. All this kind of nonsense. I stayed happy. And I got spiritual. And I said the same thing. We deal with stuff. That just happened to be one thing. But I'm saying everybody deals with stuff. Why are you getting annoyed? Get annoyed in the Holy Ghost and walk in your authority and begin to take authority. Shut the borders, shut the doors. You don't like what's going on in New York State? Take authority over it. Rise up and say, in the name of Jesus, we break your power over New York State. You know, all the stuff that's going on in the government. Use your voice in the spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. So, anyways, and it was funny, not long after that, I decided to move from that apartment and go somewhere else. And they're calling me saying, so they knew about it. They said, well, are you moving because of that apartment next to you? I wanted to say, when were you going to do something about it? Because in that building, other people left because of that. So I said, oh, no, I've just decided I've got a better option. I'm moving. And I said, thank you. And I kept nice. But we need to take authority in the name of Jesus. Romans 1:16. I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation. Romans 1:16 and 17. It says, I refuse to be ashamed. What? I refuse. So I refuse to be ashamed of sharing the wonderful message of God's liberating power unleashed in us through Christ. See, that's what he's trying to do. We're talking about going fishing with the Word of God. He wants to unleash himself through us. He is the Word, right? And then it goes on, for I am thrilled to preach that everyone who believes is saved, the Jew first, and then people everywhere. This gospel, this is what I love this verse here, this gospel, the Word, unveils a continual revelation of God's righteousness, a perfect righteousness given to us when we believe, and it moves us, see, the Word moves us from receiving life through faith to the power of living, what? By faith. Yeah. So the Word will do what? It'll move us. It'll empower us. Glory to God. Oh, yes. That's why I say, you know, I'm so excited. You know, the same issues that are going on in the world, you know your neighborhoods. You know, in this county, 35%, at least 35% are Jewish and Hasidim. And it's even, I don't know if it's greater in Orange County, but in Rockland County, you've got a large portion is Hasidim. Well, we're going fishing for them with the power of the gospel. And although it may seem like it's a closed society and a closed environment, let's not turn our nose up and say they're God's people. And let's ask God, how? Even the Holy Ghost, I'm saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to ask you every day, how do I, show me how to reach the people that I come in contact with. Ask him every day when you get up and you leave out, when you're going to your job, where you're going and you're going to the store and you're going to buy a coffee or you're going to Starbucks or wherever you're going. You go to your deli every day. Lord, how do I reach the people with this wonderful message of the word and the gospel? How do I reach them? Make that your heart cry. Because when we do, he'll start to use us. He will show you, that's what the scripture says, he will show you how to fish for people, because he said, come follow me. Well, part of following is you're asking, Lord, you said you would, how do I do it? Show me how. Show me how to reach the people. Not in an abrasive way, in a loving way. Show me what to do. And as we do that, he's going to begin to show us. Show us how to reach the people in this community. Yeah. You know, there's some things that God has put in our heart. We're talking about it behind the scenes. We haven't publicly shared it, but there's some things that are strong in our heart. We're going to do it this year. We're doing it this year. We just haven't publicly announced it, but it's been in our heart to do what? Do some things through this church, and we're going to do it. We're going to do it, and it's going to have a big impact. Oh, yes. I know it like this floor I'm standing on. I know it. I know it. And we're going to reach the people of this community, and we're going to reach the Jewish people, because the same issues that are going on in society are going right on in the middle of their communities. Drugs, prostitution, all kinds of garbage is going on, and they're just closed. You don't hear about it. It's not publicized, but it's going on. And they're hurting. And just the same way in the Muslim and Islam, where the young kids coming up, they don't want it. They don't want what their parents had. They don't want to follow it. They're looking for something. Same thing's going on in the Jewish community. These young kids coming up, they got all of these influences that they're looking at, and they're being drawn away from what their parents are sharing. And they're like, nah. And they're doing stuff. And they're getting sucked into the world. Same devil, exactly. Same temptations, so they don't have the gospel. But we need to ask him, how are we going to reach them, Lord? Because you died for them. Now, we may not be the perfect laborer, but I can tell you, if you get four or five that God will draw in and get full of the Holy Ghost and go in and create a revival in their own community, however he wants to do it, because we may just need to get a handful saved. And they start their own revival. However he wants to work it, we just need to ask him, show us how. Show us how, Lord. Because they're moving up out of Brooklyn, they're moving up out, and they're here. So a lot of people don't know what's going on in the county. You know, we deal with, you know, here in the building. You know, Minister Esmond was sharing something. You know, we deal with building inspectors here. Oh, they like to talk. You understand what I'm talking about? You know that saying? I'm just saying. So we get information, we get what I call behind the scenes information of what's going on in the community that's not publicized. They talk. They come in here, they do inspections, they walk around, and you go, hey, how's it going? And you talk, and they tell you stuff. And there's stuff going on in this community that needs borders shut. And stuff. And we're here for a purpose. We're here for a reason, to reach people. And 2 Corinthians, I'm going to read this from the New Living. That's why it's so important to share the good news of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:3 from the New Living Translation, it says, if the good news, we're talking about the word now, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Verse 5, you see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are servants for Jesus' sake. So God, again, is looking for us to make that adjustment. And let me just close with this here. Colossians 3. Now, we're familiar, some may be, but let me read this in the King James and then the Passion. It says of Colossians 1:3. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which what? Are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. When he says set, that means you have a choice to make. You have to do something. He's not going to make you. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid in Christ, with Christ in God. But let me read this from the Passion Translation. They'll put that up on the screen. Christ's resurrection is your resurrection too. Oh, yes. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits enthroned at the place of all power, honor, and authority. Verse 2, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm. Fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. He didn't say there weren't going to be distractions. He just said, don't do what? Don't be distracted with it. Keep your mind, keep your heart and your mind filled with heavenly realities. What are those heavenly realities? He just got done saying, he said, what? He said, his resurrection is mine. When you get up, that's why, you know, it may seem simple, or, you know, but what Brother Hagin would say it in all of his 56 or 60 plus years of ministry, he kept harping on it and saying it, the greater one is in me. When you get up in the morning, the greater one is in me. Not the distractions, not the things you're walking through. It's meant to distract you from who you are. It's meant for you to think, ah, how am I going to do this? I'll tell you how I'm going to do it. I'm going over. I don't know how I'm going over, but we're going over. First of all, because I'm seated in heavenly places with him, far above all principality and power and rulers of darkness, I'm seated there. In him, and his authority is mine. Otherwise, he wouldn't have commanded me to forbid and permit. And he said, do it in my name, because this is what I love this in, do I have that in that translation? I think, yeah, let me read this here. In, let me read this in Ephesians 1:17 and through 20 in the Passion Translation. It says, I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling, that is the wealth of the God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be what? An advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is his mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. I'm seated there. And boy, I like that. It just registered with me. When we're going into society, he wants us to be an advertisement of what? His power. His mighty power. And that's why when we were reading earlier in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 of not being ashamed of the gospel, it is the power of God. So God is looking, just to wrap this up here, God is looking what? To use us. And he's highlighting this, that he wants us. Write it down. Get it in your heart and continue. I'm a place. You know, that just happens to be this motto here that God gave Pastor Sarah at this church. But that should be a motto, a personal motto for every Christian. Me, I'm a place where the love of God is evident. I'm a place where the word of God resides and is exalted. I'm a place where God directs. The Spirit of God directs me, and I'm a place where the power of God is manifested. And we continue to say that. I'm telling you, great and mighty things are going to be done through this church, through the people of this church, because they what? Believe it and do it. Yeah. Yeah. So how many are going fishing? Oh, I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing for people. Going fishing. And believe him to send you across people that, the right people. You know, sometimes we get in, we're always in a hurry. We go into stores and we're in, we're out. And I don't want to be bothered. I'm in my own little world, But now, are you listening? That's the other part. Are we listening? Go into the store and do this, say this, go see this person, say something. And that's where it starts. Yeah. And I'm believing for a great harvest in the Hasidim community. I'm believing for a great harvest. Yeah, I read the newspapers and the news just like you do. And there's all kinds of opinions about stuff. But God loves them. And he wants them to be redeemed and saved. And if they don't, they're lost. And we're not going to do that. No. Amen. Father God, we thank you. Thank you today, Father, for stirring our hearts to reach people, stirring our hearts to bring this to our thinking. And that wherever we go, wherever we are in life, that we make opportunity, we look for opportunities to reach people. And Father, we are those people. And we are looking, and we're looking for you to show us how to fish for people. And Father, we thank you. We commit to that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, before we dismiss, let's just, as we do, you may be here today, you may be watching online, and you don't know the Lord Jesus. You know, again, the scripture is very clear. You could believe, but it's the profession of what you believe that causes that action of believing or confessing what you believe is what causes God to change your heart, your spirit. So just because you believe doesn't cause that to come into reality or be a reality. But it's the confession of your mouth and the belief in your heart that causes the change. And so God is very clear. He said, yet you are to do what? Confess the Lord Jesus and believe that he was raised from the dead. Believe in your heart and confess that with your mouth. The scripture says you'll be saved. You'll be redeemed. You'll be made brand new. You'll be born again. You're going to be a new person. And so if you've never done that, then today is a day to make that commitment. Because time is short and you want to be sure. You know, if you're here today and you're just not sure, you're like, I sure hope so. Well, then you're not sure. So if you're not sure, then be sure. And that's always why we present it. So if you're not sure, or even if maybe you got saved and maybe you did something and now all of a sudden, you know, your heart's condemning you, not God. And maybe you go, well, I'm not sure. Well, be sure. Make that profession. Say, Lord, I missed it. I'm coming home. I confess you. Forgive me. You may be that person. So he's given us all opportunities to make it right. And that's why I was sharing, last week? I saw this post from somebody who's a Rhema graduate. He's out in ministry. He has a very, I believe he has a worldwide ministry, but his name is Chris D'Amico. And I just thought it was a wonderful post on Facebook. He said he got a call from OJ the week before he passed. Now, I don't know what the association was. You know, he played football. I know Jim Hockaday is friends with Chris. And they played football. I don't know. Doesn't matter. But he called him and he said he just shared with him. And he said OJ said to him, well, you know, yeah, I was raised Baptist. I know I need to get it right. Now, he said, had I known a week before that he wouldn't be here, he said, I didn't know that. And he got it right. Had him pray a prayer, get it right, and he left this earth. I expect to see him in heaven. I don't care what he did or didn't do. He's forgiven, he's redeemed, and he's in our future. So that's why I say we, you know, when people say, well, I sure hope the God that we serve will go to some of the most amazing extremes to reach people before they breathe their last breath. That's the God that we serve. And he loves people. And so wherever you are, you may be a nurse, when he prompts you, just like our dear sister said, well, he asked me to reach it. You don't know. That girl may have gotten it right, and you don't know. You know, we've heard people say they are in a car accident a week later. We've had people up. I'm going to tell you another thing that just come to mind. Sorry to digress. But in Pennsylvania, this was at the Poconos. We used to go up. This was a Sunday morning. This guy was coming. He's not coming to the church now, but he was bringing his friend. And he came up one Sunday morning and accepted the Lord. You remember him? Him and his guy, you know, they were plumbers or electric, I forget what they were, and they would go into Mott Street, they would go into the Italian section, you know, this kind of stuff, right? A week later, he got hit in a head-on car crash and he was dead. Accepted the Lord. I was there. I made that appeal. He came up and I said, all right, my brother. And a week later, gone. You don't know. So when the Lord prompts you to do something, do it, because you don't know how long that person may have. Oh, yes. So if you're here today, say this simple prayer. Father God, I'm coming home to you. I receive you as my Savior. And I believe you were raised from the dead. And your resurrection is my resurrection. And I thank you that I'm redeemed. I'm cleansed with the blood of Jesus. And I profess you now as my Lord. And I thank you in Jesus' name. If you said that simple prayer from your heart and you meant it, then we welcome you to the family of God. If you're here today or you're watching online, just let us know. And there's information on how you can reach us online. And just let us know and we'll send you some free information. If you're here today, we'll receive you and give you some free information, pray with you, and rejoice with you. Amen.